You're listening to Fucks Given, the one where we interview Ruby.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Ruby, you are a sex positive educator and you also work with charities.
Yeah. Well, I work for one sexual health charity that works with young people, but I do loads of work with adults now. So I'm kind of all about pleasure, porn, sex toys, body positivity. So I co-founded a body positive life drawing class with my wonderful friend Rosie. It's called Body Love Sketch Club, and we have both been life models for like over 5 years. We get naked all the time, and we love it, and it's really changed our relationship with our bodies. And so we do a class where we pose, but also everyone else who comes also poses.
So everyone's naked the whole time.
So at the beginning it's just us naked, and then we do it in a way where it's really safe. It doesn't feel like a competition of like, the more positive you are, the more naked you are.
Yeah.
But there are always some people who pose fully nude. There are always some people who keep all their clothes on, and then people in between. And you like get to keep the drawings that are of you. It's like a really nice, so that's something I'm doing right now that I'm super proud of.
Oh, we need to go to that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So good. And then I just do lots of like events, workshops, panels, writey bits, all about fun sex stuff.
How did you get into all this stuff?
I've just always been really nosy about sex.
Nosy's the best word. That's exactly what it is. It's like, just nosy. I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hi, we've just met in Tesco's. Do you want to tell me what your like deepest, darkest secrets are? Because I'd love to hear them. I just really like it. I didn't really realise that being a sex educator could be a job until after I left uni. And when I did realise it, the penny dropped. And I was like, oh, my fucking God, I've been having these conversations for like years. Mm. And whenever in like groups we start talking about sex or porn or wanking comes up, my ears always prick up and I like want to keep the conversation going on forever.
Like,
and now I've found a thing where I can just talk about it all the time and no one thinks I'm a weirdo. It's the best.
I know, literally, like this podcast is the best job ever.
Well, and also I think I love the sex positive community so much because you just meet like you guys as well, you meet people and everyone's just a complete nerd for sex. Like, no one's chill when it comes to talking about sex or dating. Like, everyone is so on it
and everyone's so different as well, which is what's so exciting.
So what do you think about the number and like the stigma attached to that?
I remember being at uni in like my first week, and one of my best mates, like a girl who became one of my best mates, told everyone that she slept with a certain number of people, and then confessed to me after that she had lied and she'd actually slept with like 25 people, and she was so ashamed. And she, and so from now on, she was like 21, and she said, from now on I'm only going to allow myself to sleep with like one person a year, just so that the number stays down.
That would suck.
Which would really suck. Like, imagine if you just pick one person at the start of the year and they were shit. And then you were like, well, I guess I just got to stick with this person if I want to, like, get laid with someone else.
No. That's such a strange way of looking at it. But that is what the stigma does to people.
It really does. And there's such a different version with young men and young women as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole body count thing is a real positive thing for lots of young men and some young women as well. I personally have always been really proud of the fact that I've slept with lots of people. I stopped counting when I got to like 40. And also when you're in like sex party scenarios, it's really hard to tell who you had sex with.
How can you be like, I think I had sex with 10 people last night, and maybe it's like, how do you even,
but then also like, how do you quantify that? Like, if I'm in a room having sex with someone and there's someone who's like next to me, but I don't like touch their genitals, but they're still kind of involved in, they're still touching the genitals of someone else I'm touching, like We've all been in sex together. Mm. Like, it still kind of is a group shared experience.
Yeah.
So if for me it was really liberating to be like, okay, goodbye to the number. Like, yes, that no longer matters to me anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm like a really happy slut, so it's nice for me to be like, but I really enjoy that I've made the choice to sleep with lots of people.
Yeah.
But then I've got mates who have slept with like very few people, mm-hmm, and really enjoy that, and that's where they get their empowerment from as well.
Yeah.
Like, I love being naked, that's when I'm most confident. But for some other people, being clothed is the way that they get their power.
Yeah.
And both of those, and like anything in between, should be really celebrated and really fine.
Fuck Uno.
The first fuck.
I have a few different first times. Because I don't like the idea of virginity, because mm-hmm, it's not very helpful. Like, mm-hmm, there's a first time I had like penetrative sex with a penis.
Yeah.
But actually, I was sexual before that.
Yeah.
And it's nice to sort of pinpoint all of those different moments.
Yeah,
so
really helpful.
I was quite a nervous wanker as a teenager. I was brought up in like a completely non-religious environment. There was no like going to hell because of your sexual sins. And yet still, as like a 12-year-old, when I first started masturbating, I was convinced I was going to hell.
Really?
And it was like evil and dirty. I would die with embarrassment if I found them now, but like I wrote in my diaries, like, I will not do that evil thing again. Like,
oh my gosh.
I was really tormented by it.
Why?
I don't know. I think I was just so overwhelmed by something feeling that good in my body. Mm. I was like, this has to be bad, right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And also that no one was talking about it.
Yeah, so no one does.
I had like a sex positive family, but it was not a sex positive family that you would get in 2019. It was one in the early 90s,
yeah,
where you wouldn't talk about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that someone had said to me, you know, it's normal if you want to masturbate, and that, like, that's nice because it feels really good.
Yeah.
Just giving someone the permission to like have a nice time with it is so important.
Yeah.
So that was, I had a kind of weird relationship with solo sex as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, with myself in general, I don't know how old you guys were, but I spent my whole teenage years, rather than genuinely trying to enjoy myself, just so desperate to be a character on Skins.
Obsessed with Skins.
And just live a Skins life. And I did a pretty fucking good job of being a Skins
wow
character. But then I look back on it and think, I didn't have loads of fun, even though it looked fun.
Yeah.
And I don't actually know how many of those decisions I made genuinely for myself. I was just so obsessed with like doing the things that you're like breaking the boundaries that you're meant to break.
Everyone was obsessed with it. I was obsessed with that program.
It came out at the worst time for me.
Yeah, at the like our age.
Because I was just too young to do everything on there.
Did you ever watch the film 13?
Oh.
Yeah.
I was 13
when I watched that.
Oh my God.
It was really like life-changing for me.
So this goes into continuing on my journey of first.
Yeah.
I didn't realise until literally last year, 2018, that the first sexual experiences I had were with women.
Yeah.
Because in my brain, like, I just hadn't considered them a valued thing. Even with coming out and, like, being a happy queer bi lady, I'm still unearthing things of, like, oh, yeah, that was totally a thing. Okay,
yeah,
cool. Like, I'm still sort of collecting all of those from my past. But I went to a 13th birthday party of a really cool girl in my school.
Ooh.
Who has a really cool name, but I won't say it. And it was the first evening that I smoked a cigarette. Skins.
That's quite
come on. It was the first evening that I watched 13. And then I remember like half of us at the sleepover all rolling around and kissing each other and touching each other.
Whoa.
And then like not... and everyone else who was there kind of being there and witnessing it.
Yeah.
And then it was just never, ever spoken about again.
Huh.
I actually had penetrative sex with a penis owner for the first time.
Penis owner.
When I was 15, his parents didn't know I existed.
Oh.
And I kept my bra stayed on the whole time, which deeply upset me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like not how it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had sex and it was kind of awkward and weird. And then we finished having sex and 2 minutes after his mum called the house phone and he spoke to her and then he was like, yeah, my mum's like 5 minutes away, so you should probably go. And then just like sent me on my way and I walked home and I was like, this feels fine, right? This feels fine. This is what it's meant to, be really good, right? I feel great.
This is okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
Did you ever speak to him again?
Yeah, no. We were like dating. Oh. We'd been together for 6 months. It was just one of those weird teenage relationships where like he was super hot,
understand.
But like you don't really have anything in common. You're just like dating because
yeah.
So that was maybe that's why I focus on all the other ones, because that was a bit of a sad one.
Yeah,
that
is. Sad. But then that shows that everyone, it doesn't have to be this magical, wholesome virginity losing experience with sparkles and romance. It doesn't have to be like that.
Fuck two. The last fuck.
So the last time I had sex was 2 days ago, which was my anniversary. So me and my partner have been together for a year.
Cute.
Which a year feels a bit lame, like teenage, like, oh my God.
But, no, it isn't.
But it was a really nice thing to celebrate. Like, this year's gone so fast and like we're just super into each other.
Yeah, like, that's lovely. I say celebrate fucking anything, like anything to give you guys a positive experience. If it's your fucking 1 day anniversary, 1 month anniversary, 1 year, hell yeah, if that means you're celebrating each other.
And I don't like putting too much pressure on them, but it's nice to have an excuse to like go for a nice drink, have a nice evening together. It's not like you need to throw loads of money on it and like stress about it.
Yeah, no, like loads of presents or like whatever, but did you get presents? You're looking at me like, we did presents.
Nah, we made each other cards.
Aww,
we just did like a little,
that's cute.
Yeah,
that's
a little thing.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it was nice. But we had some fucking great sex.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things of like, you know that you're going to put the extra effort in for, it's like, okay, we don't want to let the side down. Like, let's bring it all out.
What happened?
So he went down on me for ages, which was just lovely. And something, you kind of ebb and flow in sex. And so for a while... Yeah. I wasn't super into people going down on me, and I'm like just starting to remember how great it is and be like, oh, okay, cool. Let's just do this loads now. So that happened for a while, and then he fucked me and I came, and then I fucked him and he came. And it was a lovely sexual experience.
That's
great.
So nice. That just sounds like it sounds so perfect.
Yeah.
So he fucked you first and then you fucked him.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So I fucked him with a lovely pink dildo, which is one of my favorite sex toys I own. Have you pegged anyone before?
No.
Like done like anally things on other people?
No. Oh, I've done anally things.
Ribbing.
Yeah.
Okay. Get a finger in there because it's the fucking best. I love prostate shit so much.
I love prostate shit.
I'm really jealous that I don't have a prostate.
Yeah, innit? I mean, we have a G-spot, but it's a very different feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just like that there's like something up in there. And I think sometimes I get a bit proud if I sleep with people who haven't had any like prostate stuff before, because I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna blow my mind. But I just think it's really fun, and especially for people who don't sleep, who are like men who don't sleep with men, a lot of the time it's this thing, like whole other aspect of their sexuality that they've just not engaged with and not explored. And fair enough if it's not your thing, but I would recommend everyone to try it like on your own before you do with a partner, to see if it's something that you like.
Yeah.
But it can be really fun. And it's just really, I find it deeply like empowering and hot.
Yeah.
Fucking someone's ass. I love it.
I once had a date where it was like I think it was just like OkCupid date or something. And on the date, the guy told me that he owned a bullet vibrator that he used on his prostate. Like, really randomly in the first date. And I didn't really know what to think about at the time, because I'd never really heard, like, I just didn't really know what guys did with their prostate.
My worry would be that if he was using it internally, if the bullet didn't have a flared base or something, it's really easy. Once you kind of relax an arse enough, like, it will take a lot and it just swallows things up. And so it's really important to be safe and not use something that has like no flared base and can just like go up there.
Oh my god, guys.
It's really important.
I mean, you can just put it back out again, because I've done that before.
Have you?
Yeah, you just, I mean, it takes a while because you're obviously stressing that you've lost something in your bum, but I mean, you run the risk of pooing it in the toilet, and then it's, if it's not waterproof.
How long was whatever you put up there in there for?
I mean, things will naturally come out, surely, eventually, over time.
Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. I don't think it's a guarantee. Like, I know I've got a mate of mine who's a doctor, works in A&E. This is like the most other, he's seen lots of people come in who just have other things like up their asses and need them taken out. And like have tried to get them out themselves and can't. The most extreme one, and I love this story, is that a guy walked into A&E and he had traveled there on the bus. He had an entire butternut squash up his ass.
That's what?
Huge.
How?
It's so big.
How?
Head worthy.
And he got the bus. That bit really upsets me.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Did it? There must be all sorts of problems after that.
I know. Well, maybe there isn't, because actually there are toys that are that big and you just need to really ease into it.
Fuck three.
The best fuck.
The best sex I've ever had. I was thinking about this last night when I was doing a life modelling session.
Ooh.
And I got really turned on. Because I ended up doing like a show reel of like, what are the best? How do I choose this? And then realised it was not the appropriate space to do that.
You life modelling at the time, naked.
Yeah, which is a naked space, but not a sexual space. Legs closed. I'm a classy lady.
Okay, good. Just thinking, like,
I'm not.
I'm not a classy lady, but I wouldn't go. I haven't gone like full vag in a life modelling class before.
Get me there. Yeah. I'll go full vag.
Oh, I will.
My vag.
I have done before, but in like a with mates.
Oh yeah.
Not like. Hey, you booked me for a standard life modelling class. Say hi to my genitals.
Watch it grow and pulsate and drip.
No, they were closed. I said they. Like they. The legs and the labia and the
Non-gendered vagina.
Yeah. So I have been lucky and I've had a lot of really good sexual experiences. One that comes to mind, which was great because it was so surprising, was the first time I had sex with my current partner. Which is not something I would expect to say.
Yeah.
Because I've always been a huge believer in like first time sex is not good when like with a new partner. It can be fine, but you kind of need to get over the hurdle. And then the next time you fuck, you'll know each other's bodies and it will be cool.
What? I mean, I just feel like that's virginity, right? Because we have the same thing. Our best experiences are with our long-term partners. And I think that's probably what makes it long-term, right?
Oh, so what, the first time you fucked your partners, you were like... Great.
That's my best sex story is the first time I fucked my
partner. Snap. Twinsies.
We're three of us. Florence as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that I was the odd one out, but I feel like really welcomed here. Guys.
Yeah, it's my best story.
You're welcome so to welcome. Our best. Welcoming at the same time. We look like a ritual, like some hazing fucking ritual. Welcome to Foxgiven, come curious.
What? I don't want to be hazed. Don't make me do this.
I don't know, man. I've got Sabrina on my mind.
tell us about your time.
So it was, I think what was so nice was it was really refreshing to be, I'm all about communicating what you want to do and what you want done to you in sex. For me personally, I'm super into that in theory. But when I get turned on, I actually become quite nonverbal and I can't string a sentence together. Huh. And so it's quite hard for me to then... I'm working on it a lot more now. And actually the other day, a partner like congratulated me on like being able to tell that I wanted to do. Which feels like really so primary school level of encouragement.
No, that's
like,
important.
Well then, you communicated your feelings. Feelings I'm good with, actually. Like, I can talk about feelings forever. But I... don't expect people to know how my body works straight away in the same way that I like other people shouldn't expect me to know theirs. Yeah. But what was so refreshing was that my partner, it was the first date we went on and we went back to his place and then started to have sex. And what was so, so lovely is that he knows exactly what to do with his hands in terms of making me squirt. Which
on the first time?
Oh, like... mattress sodden.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you a natural squirter before then?
Yes, I have been. Only over the last like couple of years have I got into it more. But a lot of I've not been able to make myself squirt before, which I really am looking forward to the moment when I can do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time people can be quite nervous about about like going pretty hard inside someone's vagina,
mm-hmm.
Which I understand, but actually in order to make me squirt, like you need a lot of fucking pressure and a lot of things to be going on in there for mm-hmm. it to happen. And so it was super nice to like have that experience of just someone being like, oh, you know my body, shit, okay, I'm just gonna like lie back. The whole time we were fucking, that's, I basically so was good. Just like lying back, I had my hand over my mouth for most of it, so I was just like, I don't know what to do, I'm really surprised, this is amazing. And we also like rolled around, did lots of other things as well, but I think that was like, we've had a lot of good sex since then. It hasn't like declined.
That's good,
just got better.
Yeah, and then yesterday when I was life modeling, I had one very vivid image that made me very happy, mm-hmm. which was me at a play party. I get quite, I'm quite greedy sometimes in terms of sex, and also like I get a little bit like competitive in a
okay
in like a kind of like yeah I fucking beat you bit way. And I remember being at this play party last year, and there was this fucking super hot girl who was like incredible, and we'd like seen each other at the start, and I think in like a smaller intimate play party you kind of meet lots of people and you definitely make eye contact of being like, wait, I'll see you in an hour,
yeah, we're gonna,
I know what's going
later.
Down. Yeah. But there had been a couple, there was like one room and there were about like 10-15 people in there, and a couple of people had like been going down on her, and she was into it, but like not, she was like fine, and all of them were men.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like a little bit of a break from that, and some other things were happening, and then we started hooking up, and mm-hmm. It was a sexual experience where like I wasn't touched at all, I was just like giving pleasure to someone,
yeah.
And I went down on her and made her come so hard, like explosively. And I just remember being in between her legs and being like, all the men before who tried to make her come are watching me do this right now, and I am a goddess and everything is great. So I feel kind of bad because I did that for her,
yeah.
But I also kind of did it for me, and being like,
right.
this is like a really special thing. Like, I'm proud of myself.
I
right
own
now.
This room.
Yeah, it was totally that.
Fuck four. The worst fuck.
So I have had a couple of times which have not been very fun. Worst times. But they are in the past now, so we don't need to talk about them too much. I've like processed them, and I think now I'm in a really good place where like I can talk about sexual assault and like what it's like to be on the other side of that in a positive way, rather mm-hmm. than like when it feels really bad.
Yeah, you're not a victim, you're a survivor.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Badass survivor warrior lady is kind of how I think of it with
oh, hell
me,
yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But I have had a couple of funny worst ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with this one. A couple of years ago, one of my best mates was living in Prague, and I went out to visit her for the weekend and was not expecting to have sex because mm-hmm. she was with a boyfriend, and I didn't realize until like right up to the last moment that they had decided that they could kind of be open.
Mm-hmm.
But we went out, and she's very glamorous, quite like high maintenance, and like goes out to like fancy clubs. It's not something I normally do, but yeah. I put on a pair of heels for her and we went out, and then got chatting to this group of guys, and she was chatting loads to the person who was like really, really, really hot. And I remember, before I realized that she was in there for herself, I remember sort of being annoyed and being like, why are you like, come on, give this to me, like he's super hot, all of his other mates are like not what I'm looking for. Come on, hand him over my way.
Yeah.
And then I clocked. I was like, oh, okay. So my best mate is hooking up with one of these guys, and I'm staying on her sofa. So either like I could go home on my own, but then like they're having very loud sex in a very
right.
thin wall, like in the other room. Or I bring back one of the other guys. And in the end, I was like, fuck it. I'm pretty drunk as I am. Like, let's just carry this on.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the guys came back with me, and it was all like really fun and funny and silly, and the four of us were like hanging out and having a couple of drinks, and then my friend goes to the room next door, and throughout the rest of this encounter I can hear her having like some of the best sex of her life.
Oh my god,
she's like having a whale of a time, it's all going so well. And then me and this guy are left alone in her like kitchen living room.
God.
And it was not awful, One thing that really stuck with me is when we took our clothes off, he had the worst tattoo I've ever seen in my life.
Oh no,
on
what
his
was
like hip groin area.
I don't think she can say.
It was big. No, it was big and it was a dragon, but it was like the worst. It was such a bad tattoo. I've got some tattoos that some people might think are pretty shit, but I love them. But this, you couldn't look at that and not think it was a shit tattoo. So I was like, oh great, now I'm just feeling like more ashamed of myself. And then we had like sloppy drunk shitty sex, like trying to be a bit porny, which I'm never super into, especially on a one-night stand. I was like, come on, I'm not into like fucking you on a kitchen table, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No chemistry.
No. And then I don't really know how it happened, but we then got into a very heated argument about feminism.
Huh. What?
And the whole time I was like, why are we talking about this? I don't want to do this. And then suddenly he was like, oh, you're not like a fucking feminist, are you?
Oh, for God. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Fucking at the time when we talked about
he was inside me when we started this.
No yeah. way.
And then I kind of got off and we started continuing this like conversation that then turned into a full argument.
Jesus.
All the time, my mate's fucking next door. And then he was like, well, I think that we should stop doing this. And I was like, yeah, I think we should too.
Yeah.
And he was like, can you wank me off and then I'll go home?
Oh my God, the cheek of it.
Oh my God,
I'm not doing that. And he was like, well, otherwise I'm just going to go home and wank anywhere. And I was like, well, fucking do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, what?
Would
what
you
is
actually
happening?
Want a feminist touching his penis anyway? Like, fucking hell.
I know. So I didn't leave that situation feeling particularly bad, but he left and I was like, why, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
And why? And this is why I do not hook up with guys in like kind of wanky clubs. Because it turns out they're all the
wankers,
worst, other than the one that my mate pulled.
Most of them wanky. Well, actually, you know, it's just people. People are wanky.
That's true.
You have to find them, whether they're in a fancy club or not.
Yeah,
they could be in a cool club and they could still be wanky.
That's very true.
That is true.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that changed me.
I love this story. And this was out of all the questions you asked, this was the one question that I like didn't have to think about at all. Because
really?
I talk about this encounter a lot.
Okay.
So, when was it? It was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I love London Pride so much. It's one of my favourite days of the year.
Yeah.
Every year, like, I just have a great time. It's like so many friends, my community, everyone mm-hmm. is just like out to have a good time. This was a really special pride for good and bad reasons. The bad reasons were that the Orlando shootings had just happened.
Mm.
And also, it was the day after the Brexit vote had been announced.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh,
I'm sorry God. To bring that up on this Jeez. Podcast because I realise that's the least sexy thing in the world.
Vagina shriveled.
I know. I'm like, yes. Dry, done, nope. But I think because of that, pride happened and everyone came out that day and it was sunny and everyone was like, we are gonna fuck all the negative stuff and just have mm-hmm. a whale of a time.
Yeah.
And that was good because it was also my birthday.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I was there with lots of mates. It was like a really lovely time. And then towards the end of the evening, a guy who I was dating came along as well. And he brought his girlfriend who I'd not met before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd known that he was poly. This was the first person that I dated who was like poly and non-monogamous and kind of opened my eyes to that being like possibility for people and ultimately for me. And so the sex that we had that night was on my birthday, on Pride, my first threesome and my first time fucking a woman.
Oh.
And it was, I remember it happening and just being like, oh, this is really good. Like,
yeah.
With all the stars aligned to allow me to have this.
Yeah. And obviously, best birthday ever.
Yeah, best birthday ever. It was really nice, like, having sex with a woman. And, like, that was, I mean, when I say sex, it was sort of, I'd had experiences before, but this was, like, the most seal the deal, like, you fucked a woman experience that I'd had to that point. And that was all amazing and really fun and like lovely to roll around with them. And threesome sex is so different to like two people
mm-hmm.
sex. Like
yeah.
a lot of the time I think people mistake what a threesome is meant to be like and that like everyone must be doing something at all times. Mm-hmm. And like threesome etiquette I could talk about for ages. But the thing that really changed me
mm-hmm.
was waking up in the morning and being hungover and happy and all like sex drunk and all these good things. And then the two people who were next to me in bed started having sex And I witnessed these two beautiful people who were so in love with each other having sex. And I was a part of that and also not a part of that. And it felt like such a huge gift to be able to witness that. And like, how many times do people genuinely get to see, say that they've like watched two people having sex or fucking with that intimacy and beauty, not through porn, like actually just be there and hold that space with them? And I think that was something that was one of the final pieces of the puzzle for me in terms of non-monogamy and like understanding how that can work, and that it's super beautiful to like watch that, and it's super beautiful to like be one of the people who's fucking and other people there like witnessing it. It like, it kind of just opened up my boundaries and what I considered like usual in terms of sex. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's amazing. Because it's like, it's not...
You're both looking at me like really stunned.
No, that's incredible.
I feel like I've been like preaching profound sexual
things. I was just like, I never thought that you could have a like a sexual it's a sexual experience, but you're not part of that sexual experience. It's like you're watching it, even though you are a part of it. And of course you're a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that I was like, oh, that's so fucking hot, I'm gonna like touch myself and be, I was just like, you two love each other and you look beautiful and I wanna watch you loving each other and looking beautiful. And
how did it make you like feel seeing that? Like what was going through your like mind at that time?
I think at the very beginning there was like a split second of like, oh god, I'm not involved in this and this is terrible and they don't want me to be here. But then very quickly, from the way that it was all communicated in there, that's not what it was about. It was just like a love. We were all like sleepy and cuddly, and then that started happening and it just became really natural and organic. And I think I was just really in awe of what was happening. Mm-hmm. And then remember walking home and just being like, fuck, that was really important.
Sounds really
important. Because it's like, non-monogamy is not easy. And like polyamory, I've tried polyamory before and maybe I will again. But for me at the time, it was not the right thing to do. And it did not end well.
Relationships are complicated anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone polyamorous relationships.
But I think an error that lots of people go into when they think about non-monogamy is just thinking like it's just polyamory, that's the only option, and what polyamory is what these like these few books or podcasts tell you it is. And for lots of people that works amazingly well and is a really beautiful thing, but I guess I like the word queer because it leaves it up to you to define what that means, rather than gay, bisexual, like all great terms.
Yeah.
But queer has a bit of ambiguity to it.
Yeah.
Or can do. And non-monogamy in the same way can have that ambiguity. So like by identifying as non-monogamous, I get to define what that looks like. And and that gets to be a fluid thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like I'm poly, so I've got like lots of romantic and sexual partners and this is the way it goes. Like, my relationship to non-monogamy is different to anyone else's relationship.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
This week's question from our listeners is, I haven't had sex in nearly half a year, and most of that was because I started seeing someone and I really liked them, and I wanted him to wait, and he was patient, but then he flew away and ghosted me out of nowhere. And I really, really want to have sex. Like, now I'm gagging. Now I'm on Tinder and Bumble and can't find anyone worth my pussy. What do I do? Where else can I go?
Wow, that confidence is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you're already doing this, but I would say, like, just wank a lot as you're looking for this. Because sometimes you can get kind of, like when you start to just think with a dick or a pussy of like, oh my god, must have sex, we'll have sex with anyone who's here. Like you can have sex with yourself and it can be like a cool, empowering, amazing experience. That might not be the solution for you, but it might help you to be more selective, or not even selective, but just more like honest to what you want. Like, if you're then also looking for other partners.
Yeah. I partly chose this question because she mentioned Tinder, and I saw on your Instagram stories recently you had a little drama with Tinder.
Thanks for bringing that up. I should be screaming about this all the time. Tinder's fucking blocked me, and I'm really pissed off about it.
Why?
Right. Also, the irony of this is that I met my current partner on fucking Tinder. And now they've blocked me. So we we were in New York last year. And when we got there, we like settled in and we're like, okay, should we change our like dating profile so that they're all photos of the two of us? And then we're just like, no pressure, but we'll see if anyone like wants to hang out while we're here.
Yeah.
And I used a photo that's really, really cute. That's of me and my partner. And we had a bleaching your pubes and armpits party.
Amazing.
A couple of months ago. Wouldn't yeah. actually recommend bleaching your pubes.
Okay. Oh.
The dye washes out really quick and then it just looks like blue rinse.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But the armpits were fun. But so we did that with some friends and then we had enough bleach left to dye my partner's hair. And there's a really nice photo of me topless, like dyeing his hair. And we're both like kind of smiling and looking at each other and it's like really cute and tender and sweet. And I've got emojis over my nipples.
Yeah.
So it's not naughty,
yeah.
But I use that as one of the photos and then Tinder blocked me from
They didn't like it.
They didn't like it. And then this year I tried to get it again and they blocked me again.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So the thing that's so sad is that I would be like, I'm a fucking brilliant asset to Tinder. Like I am ethical and really down to fuck and quite slutty. Like that's what Tinder needs to satisfy the people on Tinder. Are people like me
and not fake
Stupid
as well
Tinder.
And not fake. So if you're out there Tinder, like invite me fucking back because I'm really good at Tinder. Tinder's like one of my favorite apps.
But this girl can't find anyone on Tinder,
so I would recommend for this girl don't like download all of the apps if you want to, but then find one that suits you and just stick to that rather than hopping from one to another. It kind of, you need to have a little bit of tunnel vision with that.
Yeah.
There is an app called Pure, which is for more casual sex. It's designed for like hetero people, but it's a little bit more like Grindr in the sort of like casual sex thing. So if you want to, if what you want is to like have sex and it be no strings, have a look at that and see if you like it. And then have a look at other apps because there are different people on all of them, but do just pick one and be honest about what it is that you're looking for. And that might be like, I want to fuck you once and I don't want to speak to you again.
Yeah.
But maybe don't say it in those words. and then it might be like, I'm down for like dating, but I'm not looking for anything serious. Like find what you want and then word it in a way that's like palatable for that app, but without lying about yourself.
Yeah. It could also be that this girl might be coming on too strong. I've done it in the past where I've just been really honest and I just want to fuck and it scared a lot of people away and it could scare away some men if they are genuinely looking for something more than a fuck. Or, you know, men, the majority of men enjoy a chase and they want to, you know, chase after you and they want it to be a little bit like, oh, she's a bit cooler than me, she's not replying, because it's exciting. And girls like that as well, but you know, we do like a bit more comfort.
It's just Sod's law as well, isn't it, that when you really want something you're not going to find it.
And it
happens that way all the time. When you're not looking for it, you'll find loads of sex, but when you really want sex, you're not going to find it anywhere.
It's focusing your attention on anything. If you are obsessing about it and focusing, you're counting down the days like that every day you don't have sex, rather than just being like, oh, a week's gone past, or oh, a month's gone past. It's not a big deal, especially if you're that horny as well and all you can think about is fucking. That would be like
I'd say do like be selective but continue with dating apps, because I think that's a really good way to like get laid, get a date, whatever.
Definitely.
And also being like, there is some privilege there in that for the majority of women it is easier getting a date and getting laid on dating apps, but then at the same time really invest in time, maybe even financially, in the solo sex you're having. So like treat yourself, and if you're able to like invest in a toy that you've wanted or that you've been curious about, or like have a think about ways that you would like to change or like alter the way that you masturbate, and think about sort of that being something exciting, not that being something that's like, oh god, I'll do this until I have sex with a real person.
Really good advice. Fucking hell.
So to round up the show, we always ask our listeners, what is their worst story? And we have a little discussion about it. Florence, hit that shit.
Okay, today it is. It's a short one. I was having beautiful, passionate, lovely sex when a guy asked if he could come in my ear. And then there's a lot of like... emojis.
He must have an ear fetish. I get people asking me for ear picks. Ear picks.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see your ears.
They're massive.
Oh yeah, that Reach has got massive ears.
I got massive.
You've got nice ears.
Thank you. I used to hate my ears when I was younger.
I'd kind of be into doing foot fetish stuff at some point because but I'm a bit tickly, but I could overcome it. But I think I've got quite nice feet. Mm. But ears, I'm not sure.
Feet. Like all about feet.
I don't know. I'm into people being into my feet as well.
I'm into all of it. I think I'm even into guys' feet at this moment.
But nice. But what about ears?
Ears. Right. First of all, I'm going health and safety. Like, surely cum into ear. It's like, cum travels fast. Cum can, ejaculation can be like up to 27 to 30 miles an hour.
Whoa. You'd have an ear block. And it's all sticky and like, how do you get that out?
That doesn't come out like water does.
You'd have to shower and like rinse your ear. Thing is, we shouldn't shame this person for having an ear fetish. It's just the way he did it was probably, or she or whoever, well, more likely a man because he was ejaculating into it. It's quite hard for a woman.
I would be, you know what though? That's so true though, because if that was a story when it was like, can I squirt in your ear? I'd be like, oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I feel like you have to prep though. Maybe not just the moment, just before you ejaculate, like, can I come in your ear?
You have to have a conversation about kinks and fetishes before you are in sex mode.
Yeah.
Because that's really surprising. Yeah. Like, you would not be expecting that. Like, maybe tits, face, back,
but I think
bum,
a question like that not in ears. Sex, even if it's not intentional, is quite manipulative because you're in a position where you're already being sexual and like me not being as verbal when I'm having sex. Like, if someone asked me a question like that, I'd be like, I don't know how to speak English anymore. What?
I think I'd be exactly the same. Mm. And if it's like a one night stand or whatever, and you don't have confidence to really talk to that person, it would have, you'd just be like, okay.
Well, there's only if you do want to, if you haven't had that conversation before, then what you need to do is pause the sex to have that conversation and then start again.
Exactly.
Rather than like carrying on fucking and it being sort of like something that is muddled up in between, like have a break. And like, the sexual chemistry does not die when you have a break. It really fucking pisses me off when people are like, condoms ruin the moment and you can't like...
If they ruin
the moment that bad, then you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah. You know, like, I love it when a guy's like putting on a condom. It's almost like he's ready to fuck. Yeah. I'm like so down with that. It's like, and he's being safe. How sexy is that?
It's sexy.
But the people at the in Jamaica at the swingers resort, when both of them said, oh yeah, well, I don't know if we should go to the playroom because they might not have condoms there, I was like, oh my god, I'm so wet. I want to go to your room because you've brought condoms. Like, I am down.
That's great. There are a couple of like play spaces I've been to before when it's not just condoms, like people come with a rucksack and they're like, I got all my kit, I'm just gonna lay it out here.
Oh my god.
Like, do whatever, peruse anything that you'd like to try.
So
like,
it's so
I think the sex positive community is nerdier than most people would expect.
The more you bring, the hotter it is. It's like, I'm prepared, I'm ready. I know what this should
be. Suitcase, like 30 kilograms or roll like little pounds, however much it is.
Like one of those makeup bags that's just like flip out and out. So good. Thank you so much, Ruby, for joining us today. You've been incredible. How can our lovely listeners find you?
Mm-hmm. So on Instagram, I am Ruby Rare. And on Twitter, I'm _ Ruby Rare. I'm trying to give my Twitter a little bit of love, a little bit more love right now.
Yeah, especially because Instagram's fucked.
Because Instagram is a scary place to be right now.
Jesus.
And I am running an event, which is Ruby Rare's Guide to Sex Toys on the 7th of February. It's in London. It's in a wonderful queer pub. And we're going to be talking about how to find toys that are right for your pleasure. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, I'll give you guys the link to the Eventbrite. But come along. It's going to be really fun.
Woo! That sounds so
What's
good.
It called if people want to look it up?
It's called Ruby Rare's Guide to Sex Toys.
Perfect. Thank you so much, my dear. I hope you have lovely, wonderful sex from now on.
Oh, don't worry.
I will. Forever and ever.
Forever and
until
ever.
Until I'm 85 and 100.
Yes. Oh, and could everyone please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review and rate us 5 stars because we're amazing.
And so sorry if our Instagram has been taken down because it's been taken down and then it came back today and then it got removed. So if it's back, hallelujah, we beat the system.
Yeah, we will. We'll beat it.
Bye.
Bye.